Previously on Anarshida Gamble, City 17 watched in horror as a mysterious organization called the Vox anonymously ordered the release of all slaves before executing notable citizens for their part in the trade of sentient beings. With Doc, Talia, and Muzzo already meeting with Mayor Deja Stradler over other matters, they offered their services to find those responsible and bring them to justice. But in a turn of events, the leader of the Vox movement was a woman from Muzzle's past. The elusive Vox herself, former artifact merchant and lover to Harley's stock. Convincing Harley to join them, they confronted Vox as she fled the Network 17 office tower, and after a brief misunderstanding, they ended on good terms. And despite the dizzying number of allegiances already in play, the crew hinted at another partnership with Vox and her team of escaped slaves. Across the galaxy, Okadessa faced old demons as she laid her brother Zofrook to rest in the Hessic Dunes. Attacked by raiders, she and Koderic were quickly overwhelmed and captured. But fate was on their side when a wealthy trader visited the raider camp and purchased both of their freedom. A trader that was revealed to be Okadessa's uncle, Zindaja. In the absence of her immediate family, Zindaja took over her father's business and turned it into one of decadence and overflowing wealth. A stark contrast to how her father ran his affairs. But all was not well, for her return has stoked paranoia, and Zindaja has imprisoned Okadessa in her old home, and now demands the truth from one he suspects to be an imposter. Meanwhile, Quelbin found himself arrested by the Empire in a boarding that revealed his stash of stolen Imperial weapons. With no plausible excuse, he was detained, but quickly released by Moth Tharrow, a man apparently caught in a lie. Quelbin managed to escape with the assistance of the Moth, who asked only one thing. Tell Chalu the Hutt that there must be a meeting. City 17 is boiling over with conspiracy, and the names of Talia, Doc, Muzzo, Quelbin, and Okadessa are beginning to circulate in local gossip deep in its streets. And the world grows smaller by the hour. Episode 10, The Boiling Point. Okadessa. You fought. When they came through the door, you gave them everything that you had. You managed to knock one of his guards out cold, and before you fell into darkness, you heard his teeth crack and shatter on the marble floor. You've drifted in and out, your wounds from the battle with the raiders becoming too much to bear. They burn. Your body aches in every bone and muscle. There is no escape. And the white void you were taught to escape to eludes you, no matter how hard you try. There is only the imminent suffering of the now. Catch small details as you occasionally wake from the darkness. Rooms and hallways, they're familiar to you, but change with color or decoration. The smell hasn't changed. The burning of Everest flower remains constant across 15 years of absence. You wake a final time, strapped to a vertical steel table in a dark, unfamiliar room. One that never existed, at least in your memory. There are shadows around you, and you can hear quiet breathing coming from the black. Immediately in front of you is what you had feared. Diabolical metallic plate ridged with menacing coils. You've seen these before. Used on disobedient slaves. Zofrick was broken on one just like it.
You're here to answer questions. I want to believe that you are who you claim to be, but I cannot risk everything I have worked for. There's far too much at stake. I know you understand. There is a pause, and yet no one steps into the light that shines on you like a beacon. You will know pain. Excruciating, I am sad to say. I believe that if you can recall the small details through the fog of lingering death, then you are who you claim to be. And don't argue. There is no other way. A Twi'lek, robed in black, a ceremonial mask of red and white on his face, steps into the light and sparks the coiled rack to life. You can feel the heat against your skin within seconds. You hear gears whirring as you are slowly lowered toward the sparking coils. But somewhere, in a place words cannot describe, and one that can only be felt, not seen, A voice calls your name.
The crew. You spent the better part of an evening and the next morning with Vox and her team. The woman wasn't joking when she said she'd raised an army. Her standing forces were close to 80 strong, give or take a few. And it was the Harley connection that got you into the HQ to begin with, an old flophouse for addicts. Vox had bragged about how she'd claimed the building for herself, even managed to recruit a few of the residents who weren't broken by addiction. It's a wreck, even by City 17 standards, but the 12-story complex offers plenty of room for growing their army, and with the weapons stockpile Vox has managed to acquire, that won't be a problem. Vox has been accommodating, offering you a place to crash while you continue to work together. You can tell her trust isn't fully there yet, and she's had you watched, and followed at all times you've been at their complex. This morning, she wanted a show of loyalty. You returned Harley to me, and for that I can never repay you. I likely never will. And your offer of an allegiance isn't taken lightly. I understand what partnering with someone like me could mean for your professional reputation, but my people rely on me to keep them safe. I'm sure you understand why I need to know with certainty that you have my people's welfare in mind when you make this offer. We've been tracking the movements of a slaver sympathizer, and we're taking action tonight. I want you there to assist in the capture. Vox offered a few vague clues beyond that and got her back up when questioned further. It's only now, as you sit in a luxury passenger speeder alongside Vox, that you begin to question what exactly this mission might entail. You look out the window and peer through the heavy rain that blankets the alley you're parked in. Down the street is the side entrance to Liaison, a nightclub notorious for drunken one-night stands and cheap chemical drugs. This is where your target, Isabel Jandu, is meant to come out. You can see three large men standing guard out back, each armed with steel staffs. They could crush a skull in a single blow. Vox sits up in her seat, pulling a pair of binoculars to her eyes as a shadowed figure steps out into the alley. That's her, she turns. Time to prove yourself.
Where do you want to start?
Well, let's,
Set phasers to sun.
Let's go ahead. I'm going to do a check to see if I know who this person is. I'm probably not the best person equipped for that, but
all right, so we're starting with you guys?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, so you guys are sitting in the car, and like I said, it's down the alley. You guys are about 30 meters down, parked at the very end. It's a dead-end alley that leads down into a major, basically like a Times Square in City 17. This is the really vibrant downtown district that's in the upper crust, and this is where a lot of these socialites come to hang out. So you guys have, Vox had this car. Clearly it's been stolen. It's a beautiful luxury passenger repulsion lift vehicle, and it's almost like a limousine. Essentially, there's a lot of room for all you guys. Vox is sitting there, and she's leaning out, looking out with her binoculars, and she turns back, waiting for... Basically, this is your mission. You're not assisting, you're doing it. She wants you to... Doesn't want you to kill her. She wants you to capture her.
So we should probably...
Roll for recognition.
Yeah.
So you're pretty far away, and like I said, it's...
Well, we have a name, right?
Yeah. Isabel Jandu.
Isabel Jandu. So is that...
Streetwise?
Streetwise, okay. With a difficult... Least.
Three
with just the name.
Two on this one.
Two? Okay.
Good God, this isn't going to bode well for me.
I have some advantages and that's it.
Okay.
Double fail.
No clue who that is.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got one yellow. Okay. One success and an advantage, yeah.
Oh, you can use this book to roll
as well.
One success, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, right.
Okay, the name sounds familiar to you. In fact, you're pretty sure that name has come up in some pornography that you've seen associated with Fame Fortune.
Right.
Do you remember who Fame Fortune is?
Yeah, that's Deja Straddlers.
Yeah.
Confidant.
All right, so yeah, you recognize that name. But what she's been doing lately, no clue. And you can't see from here. Like I said, it's pretty dark. You'd have to get, it's raining, so you'd have to get a little bit closer.
So they're coming out of the building, right?
Yeah, so you guys are sitting in the car at the dead end of the alley and looking all the way down. The side exit pretty much is towards like the sidewalk that leads out to the Times Square-esque area. So it's not that far before she would get out into the main street. And when she walks down, you can see those three guys that are outside are clearly with her.
Who's driving?
She would be. Box is driving.
Right. So can you describe where she's heading at the moment? Like what the area
is
like?
So she's walking, so yeah, like I said, dead end.
Yeah.
Looking all the way down about 30 meters. She walks down these side steps out of the liaison club.
Yeah.
And the three guys surround her and she starts to turn towards the large plaza, which is brightly lit with neon. This is not like where you're normally used to hanging out, where it's all dark and dingy. This place is lit up like a casino.
So why don't we cut her off with the car? Does that sound like a clusterfuck? Or?
Probably.
Is this something we want to do even? Like, I guess maybe I'll say this in character to just make it like... I recognize her name from a movie I watched that puts her in league with our illustrious mayor, who is also... We're in league with to combine to. I think we're at cross purposes here with this job. Any? Does anyone have any ideas of how we should figure this one out?
Are you whispering to each other?
Yeah.
Okay. You can also be like messaging each other, right?
Yeah,
now, of course.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah. I just wanted a quick, communal thing.
Yeah.
So to pull this off. So I'm going to say that you had this conversation on the way, so she was distracted.
Okay.
But in order for you to pull off this secret conversation, you guys are each going to have to make a deception roll.
Sweet.
To see if she catches on that you guys are carrying on a conversation on the way there.
Right. With what difficulty?
One, because she's distracted.
Oh yeah, this should be alright.
I succeed.
Okay.
I succeed as well with an advantage.
Okay.
She's even more distracted.
Yes.
What do you want that? It's a very, very small advantage. What does it do for you? So it may not have... It probably wouldn't have any mechanical benefit at this point. But, like, story-wise, what does it do for you? You can think about it. What did you get?
I failed. Amazingly. Okay. But lots of advantages. One fail, and then...
Four advantages.
I'll just add a blue dice to my next thing. Is that
okay.
Cool? All right.
Sure.
Five advantages, maybe. Because this is a double two. So five.
So five advantages, but you didn't
one failure. Yeah.
Okay.
The one who's so good at
mean?
Deceiving,
I know,
too. All
right, so let's,
maybe
let's
work
play
this
that
into
out.
Advantage.
So let's play that out.
Yeah.
You have his advantages, we'll play it out. I won't say that she necessarily notices. So you guys are sitting in the back texting away like crazy, having this conversation. So go ahead, have this conversation as though you're texting it to each other.
Okay.
I'll intervene if
all right.
Go
wonderful.
I have it under good information that the mayor, who is a former famous adult actress, is in league with Korzog, the only hut in this town that is anti-slavery. I feel like if we put all our attention to attacking the mayor's entourage, it could be at cross purposes, and we would be better off going straight at Chalu himself.
I'm saying this out loud enough so she sort of hears.
I'll get it all out.
But, you know, that we're just talking.
Okay.
That's the idea.
But surely they're on the same side. So if she wants to get rid of this woman, she can't be against the mayor, can she? No one's against the mayor.
Except for the entire apocalypse.
That's right. That's right, but if this actress is a friend of the mayor, us kidnapping her might end up poorly in her eyes and cause trouble down the line.
Listen, I know that we've gotten ourselves into quite a few tentative alliances in the past, but I think that this one can be beneficial to us. We're not hurting her, we're just capturing her. As much as we've seen what Vox does with people, I think... that maybe we can talk her down. She seems like you know her. That there's better ways to go about this. The mayor's not the one who's the greatest enemy in this. I think that Chalu is. And if we can go through this, and we can get her to help us with Chalu, I think we're in a better place than we were before. With Korzog, who wasn't sure we could go directly at Chalu.
You're right. So let us not kill this lady... Let us be as swift and nice about this job as we can.
Okay.
At that point,
I'm polite about kidnapping her against her.
At that point, I like visibly turn my gun to stun.
Yeah.
Like,
there you go.
Yeah, we'll be nice.
There we go.
Yeah. So she watches that. She watches in the rear view, and she's clearly listening to everything that you're saying. But I'm not going to say what anything else. She just, we get to the point where she says, "All right, it's time to prove yourself." The woman's walking down the stairs. And she has her back now to you as she's starting to walk towards the main plaza.
Right, and the plaza, I assume, is pretty...
crowded.
Crowded, yeah.
And she's got two guards with her?
Three.
What if we get them to cut her off with the car, and then we come from the back? Does that sound good?
If we could somehow guide them towards a specific point, that would make it a little bit easier, you know?
Well, we're at the end of a dead end. Let's just push them back here. Somehow.
So cut off the only exit out of this alley?
Yeah.
Okay. So Vox says, yeah, I can do that. That's your plan? I think that's the best way to do it?
So we should leave the car and sneak behind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
One of us should stay with the car, perhaps.
I'll stay.
All right.
Let's get out.
Okay, so you two pop out. Where are you going? You can go up the sides of there's... fire escapes on the sides of the clubs.
They came out of a club doorway?
Yeah.
Do we have time to go in the club and come out that same doorway?
If
we pay a cover
charge? There's only the one way in from this side.
I don't have cover on me.
So you would basically have to walk past her to go into the front door and come out the side door.
Okay. Wait. So I'll pull myself up into a fire escape and I can help him if that
sounds good.
We'll avoid rolling for it. That's not a big deal. You guys can do it.
Last time that happened, Quelvin fell three times.
So actually, let's see how fast it is, because she's going to be out of this alley probably in like 15 seconds from this point, so you're going to have to move quickly. So let's see how fast. Let's make a athletics check.
Sure.
Okay.
And we'll go with yours first, Muzzo.
Okay.
And then you can assist if you get up there quickly.
Okay, what difficulty?
One.
Shouldn't be a problem. Two triumphs and a disadvantage.
So, what do you want? Tell me what happens.
He gets up with me, no problem.
What else? You have two triumphs.
And
tell me exactly what happens in this scene.
I claw my way up, pull him up super silently, and we get an advantage on them. They don't even see us at all.
Okay, so you drop down in front of them kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you have a blue, too, that you're going to use?
So you can also have a blue dice on your next whatever you do.
Sure.
All right, so you stealthily run. You guys get up there so fast, and she stops right at the mouth of the entrance, and she lights a cigarette. And you guys, as soon as you're on the building above her, you're still in a fire escape. You're not like at the top of the roof. You're a level up. But you quietly move along that level, and you peer over. And as she lights up that cigarette, and you're about to get your drop on it, you realize you know who that is. It's Deja Stradler.
Oh, it's her herself.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Fuck. All right. But do we have time to do a warning? What are we?
I guess I think we're fucked. Yeah.
Yeah. The key. It's like, oh, this is not good.
So the lights kick in on the end of the alley, and she fires up the car. You're inside the car with her, and she's guessing that you guys have had enough time to get into position, and she starts driving straight down, and she's going to come around the outside and she's actually going to cut off the exit. She goes ahead of you and goes against what your plan was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she's going to make a driving check.
Well, I don't want to tabletop too much, but
you guys have one sentence to each other. What is it?
What if we surrender?
What's your answer?
Surrender to who? The mayor?
So at that point, the car is going straight at the DJ and her three associates, and cuts in right against the wall. And hairline, she rolled the triumph. Does it she just right alongside of the wall, and the repulsor here, and she stops right in front, and she's waiting now for your cue. And at that point, the three guys push DJ behind,
because they have their
clubs, their staffs ready. They're standing there ready for action.
And I can't see her, right? Because she's behind some dudes.
Right.
Okay. Excellent.
Hey, let's stun those dudes. and then when Deej's alone, we'll talk to her.
I'm basically kicking open the door and pulling out both my blaster pistols.
And I'll take aim on stun and let's nail those
dudes.
Go
for one, right. One each of yeah. trying to get them right headshots
all,
from
all
above.
Three of you guys get perception rolls.
These are not the people we think they are. For fuck's sake.
They're Jedi.
Just this moment, Korzug rolls up. And Chalu rolls off the beat.
And Modo's riding.
And they're all like,
his back.
They're all like, my friends, work with me.
Modo's still alive.
Great.
Yeah, I got a chance. Here. Nope.
Oh.
I succeed.
I just rolled an advantage, so nothing.
Okay. What'd you get?
Nothing.
All right, so you pop out with both your pistols out of the car, and you do a quick scan. You're a soldier. You've fought in wars before, and you are always looking at your surroundings. You pop out. You do a quick scan of those. Okay, three guys. They're armed with melee weapons. I can keep them at range, no problem. And you quickly do a scan up, and on the opposite side of the alley, on top of the liaison, you take just a quick look up, and you can just see a flash of light. There's a sniper up there.
Kind of like get on the comms like, there's a sniper up there! As I start shooting.
So you have, you spotted it.
Yeah.
So you get to roll initiative on this surprise round.
Oh, wonderful.
And this person also gets to roll.
Is this, this is a vigilance based one?
This would be cool because
cool.
you
there
spotted
you
it.
Alright.
This is not going the way I.
This doesn't feel like.
Doc, not everything
Doc,
goes
yeah,
the way
negotiations. It's like, we should negotiate.
And remember, if there's no difficulty, it's just whoever gets the most.
Yeah. Doc just gets PTSD. It's a robot. PTSD program downloaded.
Activating. I got nothing.
Oh. All right, so takes a shot at you. You have cover, so they get a black dice, and it's at medium range.
They also get another setback because of my armor, I think. Okay. I think that's how it works. I could be wrong.
Okay. Yeah, you pop out, you see like, oh, sniper! And you guys just see the alley lights up and this blaster bolt streaks straight down from about 30 meters up somewhere. You guys both spot the general area, but you haven't spotted the person yet. Shot and hits right in front of you and like on the car because you're like on the hood basically.
Yeah.
And it hits right here and just rips a giant hole in it and like metal shrapnel goes everywhere. Peppers your armor a little bit, but you're fine. And that if I were to hit you, you know it's a powerful blaster rifle.
It's a powerful blaster rifle!
All right, so now you have an action before everyone else. What do you do?
That person's at long range. I'm trying to think of a way to just, like, basically try and point out... I guess I would probably fire at the sniper to try and give them some attention to it.
Yeah, if you hit, I'll give these guys advantage to spot.
Okay. I'm just going to fire with the one pistol because
sure.
I don't want to... incur too much of it because it's not a very short range.
It's a medium range.
Medium range. All right, so it's two.
And what range does your gun have?
It is medium.
Okay.
That is a failure for advantages. So I miss, but it like shoots some rubble.
Okay.
Like by the actual by the sniper, so that these guys can actually spot. Where he is.
All right, you
cool.
guys both, because of all those advantages, yeah. you each get an advantage on yours. So you just automatically get a free perception check right now because of that.
Okay.
Okay.
Because he used his advantage.
Same line. Difficulty?
Yep.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Two successes.
One success.
Okay, so you guys both, you barely see him, you see him a little bit better.
Yeah.
He looks like this.
Oh, he's a bounty hunter.
Well, that's what he looks like. He's
okay.
He's not a bounty hunter, but
okay.
he's using those stats.
Is he on the same building that we're on?
He's across the way. So he's across the way and up a few levels.
Yeah.
And with just your experience too, as a bounty hunter, he's not a bounty hunter, but he's definitely there to protect DJ. He's like hidden security.
Okay.
She's obviously ramped up her security for some reason.
Can I make the jump across and climb up?
No, it's a pretty wide. It's probably about a 20-foot gap across. So you'd have to jump down and then jump back up on the other side.
Could I do that with one action?
You could do it with two maneuvers. You could use your entire action to go from... Well, I guess you're at medium range right now, so short to medium, but you'd have to climb. Yeah, so two of your maneuvers.
Would they be closer because they're up on the roof somewhere?
Well, they're...
Oh, they're like
you, so basically, you guys are all at the end of the alley. He's further back and up. Okay. So you'd have to like run back, jump down, and then climb up. So you can use both your maneuvers, but you have to make two successive athletics checks.
Okay, I want to do that because I want to take this fucker down.
All right, so the first one is at one difficulty. You're running and jumping down.
Yeah, four successes.
All right, so you run and you leap down and you run across. And now you got to make a athletics to climb. And this is two difficulty.
Yeah.
And for every success, that's a level you get up. So right now you're on level zero. You get to level three. So you need three successes to get up there.
Come on, baby. Two successes and an advantage.
All right. So you get up to level two. What does your advantage do for you? You just want to carry it over?
Yeah, blue dice to the next. All right. Yeah.
So you run, leap down after he takes a sniper shot. Like basically, as that shot goes, you're already running. Jump down and start climbing up, grabbing the fire escape to the... To above you and just literally pulling yourself up to the next
Fuck
one.
Yeah.
Like some kind of wild animal, and you can hear a shit from up above you. So it's back to their action. So the three guys, one of the guys grabs Deja, and this is going to be their action. He hauls her straight into the club and closes the door, leaving the two guys remaining. Back to your action, Doc.
Jeez. He's got some moral conflict.
Yeah, I just like I'm way more in like negotiation, like get everyone in friendship mode. You could team up, you know. They just got mutual, but that's not gonna play out. Everyone was combat hungry. They needed to get a fight. Everyone needs to get a fight in.
That's what got us here, Doc. Is so, the being way too.
I guess if I've got to move, I'm gonna jump, get down the and go to the door.
Okay, follow. so you're gonna leap down and like run past the two guys towards the door. It's just a robot. Is that the kid running past straight into the club?
I just want to party. Get out of my way.
I love this song.
Yeah. Let's try it.
Okay.
What do I gotta roll?
Alright, so you are gonna make an athletics check. To drop down, like just like with Muzzo, it's only one to get down, and then you're gonna basically try to bull rush past these guys because they're big dudes,
right?
And you can't really run around them without getting your head clobbered. So you're just gonna try to like shoulder through them and to get into the club, and I'll allow you to do that, but that'll be two difficulty. So the first one, make your athletics check one difficulty.
One difficulty. I only have one, but I have two successes and an advantage.
All right, so you can carry over that advantage.
Can I make the advantage just be like out loud? Just I'm just a partier. Just want to get into the party. And by the guys, enough to level two, stun, a quick deception. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
Get me out of here.
All right, so you use that advantage to like just say a quick thing. You can make a deception roll, and you will take three black dice to that. Because that is ridiculous.
Yeah. Coming off of a virus.
Now remember your ability that you took.
Right, that's right.
So
I did have like a deception.
You just took something.
Plausible deniability. Plausible deniability
is
yeah, and it's like a strain.
But like, yeah, it is a robot jumping down from a roof. That makes sense.
Robots still fly.
So you get to remove one black dice, right?
Okay, yeah, that's
how many ranks did you take in it?
Just the first one.
Okay,
yeah.
So you reduce
and I think
one
I take
day.
A strain for that. And I'm not really looking to convince these guys as much as just sort of stun them or just like
we'll
get them
happens.
To, yeah,
see
what happens. Right.
Please be a try.
Come on. All right. We have, three fails. One fail and two advantages.
So all right. So
three advantages.
They clearly, as soon as you drop down, you hit the ground, this metallic clang as this medical droid drops from the another story up. And as you start running towards them, you're like, oh, I just want to party. And they it doesn't even budge them, but they are a little thrown off by just a medical droid.
Yeah.
So they are a little bit thrown off. That's what I'll say your advantages carry over. So you still get a blue dice to
That's
your...
true. And then there's one more roll I make, right, to try
so
and get to the door?
Try
and get past them. This is the tough one,
This
right?
is too difficult, yeah.
One fail, one advantage.
All right, so you try to run past these two guys, and they just close up. Like, they shoulder to shoulder where you're kind of bolt will go through. And you just hit. And even though you're, like, heavy, you're probably,
right.
like, 500 pounds of metal. It just, like, they just... And they stop you dead in your tracks. And because you did not go through them, one of them gets a free attack on you.
Oh, goddamn.
Sometimes the
don't
breaks.
Worry, I'm gonna fucking rip that guy hand. Off the roof nice. And just kill him.
You look like him. You're suffering.
Yeah.
Doc is he's not very combat tested. So it's like the fact that this isn't going well is character driven.
The same things seem to happen every time we get into combat. Like it's pretty routine.
Yeah.
All right, so they're using those metallic staffs. So you take 6 damage as he crushes you with this metallic thing. Your arm bends from the pressure of the hit, reverberates all the way down. You feel these shocks going through your left arm, and the sparks start flying out of it. They just crushes you.
Right. Okay.
So 6
one
damage.
One of my arms.
All right. So that was your action. They get a free attack. So the other guy is going to attack you as well.
Do I have time to shout out police brutality? Am I innocent?
Yeah, you can, but they don't stop.
No. Sounds like the police.
Yeah.
So they hit you harder.
You take 7 damage this time, and the other guy cracks you upside the back of the head as you're yelling, "Please, brutality!" Right in the back of the skull. All right,
at least
stagger for bits of metal flying off.
At least trying to maybe draw attention. We'll see, if that the shouts of. But does my soak still work again, or is my soak kill now?
Your soak keeps working.
Yeah, still keeps working.
Hit.
Oh, nice. Okay,
call
so
baton.
Another 2.
We need to call baton.
Here you go. Back to you. Whoever
wants back to me.
Whoever wants to turn.
Why don't you go? Because you've got.
So I'm gonna do an athletics and. Try and climb up that last floor, and if I could, is that one thing, or
that's
can
maneuver,
I
maneuver, and then you still have action.
Okay, well then I'm gonna brawl him down and
try to pull him off the ledge.
Yeah, I succeed with 2 advantages.
All right, what do those advantages do for you?
Blue dice to the next.
Okay,
brawl
so
roll.
You leap up, grab, pull yourself, and he's right there. And this happened so quick, so that last thing was you just literally went up in 3 seconds, second per floor. You could have decided, so he's turned his rifle to fire at you, and you're already overreaching out at him before he can get
shot. Hell yeah. All right, so what difficulty now?
2. Because you're doing a melee attack or a brawl? So
a brawl.
Melee and brawl is always 2 difficulty to start.
Okay. Christ. 2 advantages, but... I didn't succeed.
So you reach out, and he just pushes back with his feet, and he slides back a little bit because of the roof is a little bit slick.
Yeah.
And he's sitting on his ass, but he's got his blaster pointed straight at you. You're 2 meters away from him, your head's poked over. You reached out, he kicked back, but what's your advantage? You have 2 advantages. What does it do for you?
I duck back down.
Okay, all right.
Cool. smart.
All right, so back to them. So he was gonna fire on your position.
My head would have blew up.
Yeah. So he's actually gonna try to shoot your hand to knock you off the ledge. So it's a called shot for him. It's a little bit more difficult. He hits your hand. You need to make a discipline. Let's make a discipline check.
Discipline.
It's based on will.
Yeah.
Which I have. No.
So he blasts your hand. He does 12 damage to your hand. He blasts your hand off.
Yeah.
It's there, and it just feel like a mulch. And your bones drag along the side of the wall, and you're hanging. So that's what you're trying to do, is to not pass out from this shot. So 1 difficulty. You're tough.
Yeah,
you've had appendages.
Yeah, that's right. I've grown back. Yeah, could be worse.
Succeed.
All right. So you kind of get the black with the white stars a little bit, and you start to fade, and you're you power through it, and you're still hanging on. You don't pass out, and you don't fall the 30 meters down to the ground.
Jesus Christ.
That's actually, he shoots, and then you hear a
tling. Oh, thank God.
You can see sparks flying out. He got 3 disadvantages, so his gun jams, and he's going to have to fix it. All right. Back to your guys' actions.
That's probably saved all our lives, maybe.
I will attempt to help Doc out.
Thank you.
I'm going to fire at one of the 2 guys.
Okay,
probably
sure.
The one that's slightly closer to me.
All right, so they're pretty equal.
Yeah.
There would be one closer.
Yeah, because, yeah.
Yeah. So the one that just hit him in the back of the head is the one that you're going to shoot at.
All right, yep. Sounds good.
So 1 shot?
No, I'm going to do the dual shot.
2 shots? Okay, so take an extra difficulty. So
extra
2
difficulty?
Difficulty?
I will aim.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not moving.
So
oh, wait. Oh, fuck. No, I didn't even succeed.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay. All right, so you
with
pop out,
advantage.
You start firing with both your pistols, and they just flying all around him, and he's starting to run towards the car, and that will just pop right into his action. You're firing at him as he starts to round around the front of the car, and he just runs right around, and he comes up, and he's going to hit you in the back of the skull with his club. All right, so he has two disadvantages. You tell me what that does, but he comes up, and he hits you in the back of the head for 7.
It only took 1 damage anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So he hits you in the back of the head, and you can just like, oh, maybe not quite. Like, maybe you brought your shoulder up. So what is the disadvantage?
I think he doesn't, just because he doesn't know that I am also synthetic,
right.
It's actually a little bit tougher than he expected.
Okay.
So he's kind of knocked askance.
Sure, sure. All right, so he, I'll give him a black dice on his next action. And
cool.
So he hits you, and like, the resistance is weird. And it ricochets, you bring your shoulder up, and he just doesn't, like, he feels it. That was weird. And he staggers back to the side of it and looks at you funny, and he's a little confused.
Is Harley with us?
No,
okay.
He's not. No. He doesn't have to prove his loyalty.
Just sitting in the car.
Well, I was just hoping it was there so he could open the door into this station.
It is just the three of us?
Just the three of us.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
Yeah, Harley's not there.
Yeah.
And Vox isn't there?
Well, she's there,
Vox
but
is...
she's just watching.
Yeah, she's watching to see what happens.
Although, right. She should probably be thinking of another getaway plan, because I think the front of this car is pretty fucked.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I guess I'm going to fight. Let's try it.
All right.
I'm going to, like, you have put this on yourself. I'm an innocent robot. And then I'm trying to shoot him up, like, not with one arm, but then with my other hand, I've got my gun cocked and trying to shoot him in the head. Try and go for low, one of my multiple arms, low, up. At the jaw area.
Okay.
Aim.
So you do take a disadvantage for
yeah.
your art in melee range, so you take an additional difficulty.
Okay.
So normally it'd be 1, it's 2 because you're in such tight quarters.
Fair enough.
And
2,
get
two
a boost.
Get
2
a boost?
Negatives and a
trying
boost.
Trying to execute this guy.
I think it's looking good. Straight
four
up 4 successes.
Okay. So you like, your one arm mechanical just shoots out and points straight up.
Yeah.
You hear, like, bones shattering in his jaw, and he just, like, his head whips back. He staggers back about 3 feet. You have an opening now. Do you want to run for it, or do you want to stick around?
Yeah, I'm going to make a run for the door guy.
Okay.
Do you have a jetpack?
So you open you don't
he's
have
a droid.
Any
Let's just kind of randomly appear.
He's not knocked out, but he, like, he's almost gone. Like, you can just see he's standing there like it's a Mortal Kombat finisher. And you just run right past them straight into you open
club.
Up the door
yeah.
to the club, and the music just hits you like a wolf. And you can make a perception check as you walk. This place is fucking packed. It is
it's
like,
going off.
It is like this place, and it's a really nice joint. This is not the Sticky Wickets that you're used to, or like the Jabba dance halls.
It is actually your favorite song playing.
Nice.
It actually is. Yeah.
I love this track.
So you walk in and you close the door behind you, and you just hear this one.
I should represent them.
So you take a quick gander around. You. No clue.
And I'm trying, Miss Deja!
No
one can hear anything?
Yeah. You're not being able to see shit. You can get, figure out a way to give yourself an advantage, rather than just being, like, in the crowd. You can think about that. But it's back to their action. So that guy is going to, well, the guy that actually...
Got knocked back.
Got knocked back. He's gonna have an action. He's actually gonna go into the club. He's got to make sure that their target's safe.
He's got a vendetta.
So you're standing
yeah.
there, and you're like, DJ.
Trying to look around.
And you looking around, you can't see her, and then you look back, and you see the door open, and that guard walks in with his staff, and he sees you standing like 5 feet ahead of him, and he knows you're there. So that's his action. Actually, he still has an action. He opens the door, sees you, and he's going to attack you.
Of course he is.
Do you have your dodge? Or no, you didn't take dodge.
I did take dodge.
Yeah, you should dodge.
I should have dodged previous.
Okay, so you're standing there like, oh! And he charges at you, and he swings, and you drop your head mechanically. And just like guy that's walking by with a drink.
Oh no!
Yeah, cracks and blood flying everywhere, and he hits the ground.
You say, fuck the police.
I'm like, bouncer! I'm trying to get some secure bar security.
Alright. Back to your guys' action. One of you gets to go.
Okay, I'm gonna climb up and I'm gonna auto fire on this guy.
Okay. Alright, so you're gonna be taking block dice to everything you do that's physical and aiming
yep.
because you're missing your hand. So that's
right.
that's ongoing now until you get that repaired.
Okay. apply and what difficulty?
Actually, if you, as you're running into the club, destiny might allow that hand to fall right in front of you as you go into the club.
We like use one of these destiny points. Mm-hmm. That we could maybe connect and save you some time down the line.
Sure.
Or we could have spelled it. Yeah. All right, let's do it.
Okay.
So I can do it.
So that, you're that, running that a quick and you
with one of my muscles.
As you run into the club.
There you go.
You just got a bloody hand.
Awesome.
Nastasia.
Just waving it around.
Nastasia.
You just bend the fingers so it's got a, yeah, like a single finger out.
And after I dodged that other guard, I like made the finger into like your hand, your big claw.
All right, so you're going to leap up, make an athletics check.
No, three advantages.
All right, so you're trying to pull yourself up. I'm going to say just because of the three advantages, you manage to pull yourself up and over,
yeah.
But it takes your entire round to do it. You're just, the pain is pretty bad right now.
Yeah.
You're just fighting through it. So you manage to pull yourself up, and you, as you come over the ledge and roll onto your back, you see him there, and he's like currently trying to like pull out a clip out of the side of it,
yeah.
And it's like fused, and so his whole round is just trying to get this thing out and to get the gun fixed. So that's what he's gonna. That's his action.
All right. Well, I'm gonna turn on the guy who has attempted to attack me and fire twice.
Okay, I'll give you. Do you want to keep the black dice to him, or do you want to turn that into an advantage?
Keep
for
the black dice for him, because I'm going to aim at him.
Okay, sure.
5 successes. I don't hit with the other one, but I hit.
You hit hard. Yeah. Okay, so what does your gun do?
It does 7 base, yeah.
So, 12.
Yeah.
You do 12 damage to him. So this is the guy. The other guy took the same amount of damage. He just gets hit, and his head whips back. He staggers back like 3 steps and tries to right himself. He is really bad this time. So he does charge you with his attack. He has that black dice. And let's see what happens. He charges forward and he gets the triumph.
Mm.
So he inflicts 7 damage.
Yep.
And hits you, but kind of stumbles as he does. He hits you like he was going to hit you on the top of the head with the staff. But he swings too soon and basically hits you with the pole straight on, and then trips, and his head goes through the windshield, and he knocks himself unconscious.
Nice, good, that's great.
Yeah, that's what we need right now.
That's what I'm doing.
So your critical hit is, he does, like, hits you right in the solar plexus and knocks the wind out of you. You get no more blue dice until the end of the encounter.
Okay. Oh, this is embarrassing.
Back to your guys' action. Whoever wants to go.
I think it's down to
Now, yeah. With this cat.
Yeah.
Jeez, I don't know. Is there any a crowd interaction? Anything else?
So there's lots of people around you. Where you've entered is the side bar, not the main bar. You know, like where most of the people like end up. Once
not
the main
floor,
one is full.
But,
yeah. So you would actually go to this bar and you cross the dance floor. The DJ is right. So if you're looking at it like where you're standing, the bar is to your right. There's a whole bunch of people lined up there straight ahead across this giant dance floor lit up with all these like different lights and holograms that shoot from the ground up and down. It's like different kinds of like dancers, different aliens in digital form. And there's a whole like sound and even smells that they're fabricating out of this projection. And it has this really sweet cinnamon smell that is like covering up the VO that would normally be at a dance hall. And across the way is like this huge giant DJ set with massive speakers. You can just see them warbling and you can feel it against your metal. Like it's shaking all of your parts. Your screws are rattling around in your body. But there's crowds everywhere. And to your left, there is a staircase that goes up to the second level, which is another giant dance floor that is like U-shaped. That goes all the way around and looks down on the main dance floor. That's basically what it is, and the main bar is to like the left-hand side.
Okay. I think we're gonna try and attack this guy again.
Okay.
Let's get him. But before, I also want to say a couple things. Like, if people are earshot and it's super loud, but this guy attacked me in public or whatever, right? Is there like a local sports team or something? Like, what is? Like, I'm trying to think of an inciting thing to get. Some
swoop,
backup.
Swoop bike racing.
Like, swoop bike racing, for instance, right? If there's like a Narshada pod race, racer, like a top swoop racer. It was like, and I try and stay close enough to the beefiest looking guy that's in vicinity. Something like,
he says the top swoop racer
is a shit from here. He's from out of town. Fucker.
Okay.
Get him to like try to build backup. A swoop racer?
Yeah.
It's like Gam Gam Lore. Gam, he says Gam Gam Lore is a piece of shit. I'm not gonna stand for that. I don't know why you would.
Like that. You know, so like shit, you know, like that. Like just trying to like just trying to read the room.
Okay.
Trying to get that.
So right,
let's go on we maybe do a leadership.
Come on, this guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
So make a leadership roll.
Alright, let's do
I'll
it.
I'll give you a blue for the Gam Gamler.
Yeah.
No success. Fail. Four advantages. Four advantages though.
It's like, Gam Gambler does rule, but I'm not helping you. You're right about that.
He doesn't help you out. What do you do?
And then it's also like I'm trying to shoot the other guy.
You're going
to
shoot him. Okay.
Yeah.
And a crowd.
Yeah.
So Doc shot first.
He's coming at you again, and you're going to take a shot. Go ahead. Take a shot. One difficulty. He's right in front of you.
Right. Nice. Three successes.
He starts to charge it off, the guy's like, Gambler's is awesome, but I'm not gonna help you. You just, fuck it, you turn around and you hit him and he's charging at you. Hits him dead square in the chest and he flies back a few feet, hits the ground and slides, knocks a few people over, they're holding their drinks and he's out.
Nice.
He's unconscious.
Good.
Nice.
Alright.
What do you?
I'm trying to hide into the quick, is trying to get out the door again.
Back out into the alley?
Yeah.
Alright, so you can do that. You finish your move, you just go out, open the door, stumble out into the alley, and at this point, they're all unconscious except for the guy with the gun. His whole action was to fix his gun this round, so it's back to you.
Okay, I'm gonna try and auto fire on him while laying on the ground in front of him.
Okay, you just lay it.
Yeah, just my stump.
Yeah.
And, let's see what happens. Three successes and two advantages.
So two advantages triggers auto fire.
Yeah.
So you hit him again.
Yeah.
You hit him twice.
Yeah.
With this weapon does not have stun setting.
Okay.
So you're killing him.
Fine. He's dead.
Yeah.
Swiss cheese.
He's like trying to jam his weapon, and you slowly like lay on your belly, put it down, and just. He's sitting up, unjamming his gun, and you hit him three or four times. He just goes sliding back, hits the wall, and you just tear him open. His ribs are ripped open. He just slumps over, and he's dead. You kill him instantly.
Nice. He's like, I give you a hand, but I'm all out.
So can I go over and grab his weapon?
Yep, sure. It's the same build as yours, except for it has a scope on it.
That sounds awesome.
Fire. Yeah.
Okay, and then I'm going to take his corpse and throw it into the alley.
Okay, so as you come out the door, he's like, this corpse lands next to you, and
you take the hand.
So Vox comes out. She opens up. So we'll end the encounter there. And Vox is like, "Yeah, good work in acquiring the target." We'll go to you.
Oh, the combat's so intense, man!
All right. So Okadessa, you feel this pain washing over you as this searing heat starts to burn into your flesh. And it keeps going, and it gets hotter and hotter, and you start to get nauseous, and you can feel this nausea rising up, like you might vomit from just the exposure to this insane electrical heat. You can make a willpower roll. If you do not make it, you will be taking damage.
I have one success.
You're about to give in and just start screaming in pain. It is the pain is so intense. You manage to hold it in, and you keep it together, and you aren't taking any physical wounds right now. You do take 2 strain, though. You start to fade a little bit. The pain is so intense, and you can actually like smell your hair burning. All of a sudden, it starts to ease off a little bit, and you can feel like something like your body shaking maybe a little bit, and your eyes are closed just from the heat. You don't want to have your eyes open, obviously. And you come back to a place where you're away from the heat. The pain is so searing, but you can think straight. You can think cognitively. And sure enough, your uncle walks into light, and he looks you over real close. What is your father's name?
Okatinuan.
What was his business?
You should know this. It's...
What was his business?
He is owner of the prestigious Rye Morris Speeders Company. It's a family business. It's been passed down.
How old were you when you left?
7. and a half.
What speeder was it that Zafirk stole and was not allowed off the property for a year for his actions by your father? Which one was it?
There was the Red Racer.
What is my wife's name?
Oka Pinuin.
So he steps back into the darkness. Continue. And you can feel the heat start to be applied again. And it is even more intense than last time. And you are pretty sure you're going to have burn scar marks if this keeps happening. Make a willpower roll. You give in and you start screaming in horrific pain as your skin starts to burn. You can feel it. It's starting to burn down into the muscle underneath your skin. It's horrific and you can't hold it anymore. You take 7 wounds as your skin starts to burn. And then it starts to ease up again as you start getting raised back into place and you can feel it jostle. You open your eyes and you can see that your skin has started to bubble in places on your like chest and on your face. You can see like blisters growing on your face. What is the name of the raiders that invaded the city and murdered your father? You would never forget that. This is pretty well known to you, but you're under significant duress right now.
Okay. The Wraithers?
I know that you're an imposter. Do you think you're the first to come along and claim to be the heir of the Oka dynasty? Finish her off.
I don't want to be the heir to anything. I just wanted to bury my brother. You're the one that captured me. I can leave in peace.
I have nothing to gain from keeping you alive. The only way that this ends is for you to die here. You will never leave this basement. And he starts to walk out. You have one action.
We're here under a very powerful hut. Koderek and myself have protection. They know we're here. They will come and they will murder every person in this town. They have way more money than you and way more weapons than you. Your children, I know both their names, your wife, everybody you've ever known.
As he grabs the lever and he can't see he's wearing a mask, he says, there's a million huts. I'd love to see them try.
Well, this one is known throughout the universe. And if we disappear, they will be coming for you. They know we're here.
He stops for a second, and he makes a call. He steps into the darkness, and you can hear him chattering, and you can still feel the heat on you. He's left you within, like, roasting distance. And you can smell your skin starting to char. She said she's connected to a hut. I don't know, she didn't say. So he walks back. Who?
Chalu.
From where?
Koderek is his.
Where from? Where is Chalu not from?
Oh, he's from City 17.
So he disappears back into the darkness. He drops the name. You gotta be fucking kidding me. Alright. Comes back up. Turns the machine off. Seems like we have connections to your connection. It's your lucky day. And he unstraps you. That was the only thing that could have saved you.
Oh, wow.
You kind of are coherent enough to feel your feet dragging, and they just drag you back to this room. You hear the door slide shut behind you. And a voice comes on over the comm. I don't know who you actually are. You are not my niece. But your connections have saved you today. You will be staying under my supervision until such time we make contact with Chalu to figure out who you actually are. And I'll send someone to tend to your wounds. Click. Roll a force dice.
I'm black.
So you're sitting there and you're lying on your back in... Like, you can feel your skin crisping. Like, you can feel it flaking and cracking every time you move. And there still isn't anyone sent to you and you're... How is Okadessa feeling right now? Like, you're really, really bad. You're probably going to be scarred from this. How is she feeling right now? You've just been tortured to near death by your uncle.
I'm confused, and I want to know what happened to my father. I want to know what happened here.
Okay.
I also want to know what happened to Koderek.
All right, so you're thinking about him?
Yeah.
So at that point, as you're laying there in agony, overwhelmed with all this confusion, you hear his voice in your head. Are you okay?
I'm surviving. Are you intact?
I've just been locked in here. I don't even know how long. They've kept me sedated. They've healed me up, but they've kept me sedated. But something's changed. They seem to have loosened things up a little bit. Did you hear that voice?
Yes. I thought it was you.
It's not me. I heard a call out to me not that long ago. I assumed it was your voice, but I couldn't pin it down. I had assumed when it was silenced that you had been taken, but there's something here. I've felt it since we landed, and I've been trying to attune myself to it, but I can't seem to locate it. It feels very familiar to me. Very familiar. We have to get out of here. Whatever it is you're dealing with, and with your family, whoever these people are, this doesn't matter anymore. We have to follow it. We have to find it.
Are there people attending to you right now?
Not in my room. I think my door is guarded, though.
Can you bring people to you?
Yes, I could.
Can you ask them to bring an item to you that will help you breathe better?
Like what?
It looks like a gas mask, but it is the cyber hacking gear I had on me from the hacker that I killed.
I suppose it would probably make more sense for you to do that, though, since you are in a really bad way right now.
If you could
convince them.
Okay, one of us will do that, and if you can overpower someone, try to.
We're going to need our weapons.
Yes.
See to it that you're taken care of. I can feel the pain radiating off you. I can do what I can to dissuade it some, but unfortunately it's going to be a long journey for you to come back fully to recover.
I want to get to the bottom of why my uncle did this and what happened to my family, but if
it can wait.
If it can wait, then... But I will come back and I will find out what happened.
So at that point, your door slides open and three people come in, and it's a medical team. One young human, and she's wearing, like, she looks like she's probably in her mid-20s, and she's wearing, like, scrubs. Basically, they're probably just going to operate on you right in here. And a medical droid comes in as well. It looks pretty much like Doc, but there's nothing going on there. Like, he's clearly not a sentient, and he's there to do the technical aspect of the operation.
I fall over and I fake that I'm coughing quite a bit.
Okay, make a deception check.
I have two advantages.
So they assume what's happening is you're going into some kind of shock. You lay on the side and they start going straight into trying to revive you. As it looks like maybe your heart stopped or something like that.
Emergency surgery.
So they are going to start doing some work on you. They do not buy into it though. At that point, you actually do black out as they inject you with something and you pass out. You don't even know how long you've been out. You wake up to this, like, it's before you wake up, actually. You hear this voice, and again, it comes from that place that you can't see, you can't feel it. You just know up it somewhere out there. And it's not even saying anything, it's just, there's a beckoning. What you're channeling is silencing the voice. It's not what it as you try to like close in and find that white space that everything else fades away, that energy that you're used to channeling, it just pushes that whatever it is further away into the distance and it goes away. And that's when Koderek's voice comes in. And he said, "It's calling again. Did you hear it?"
I'm in too much pain. Too many drugs.
That's quite possible. I sensed it and I'm starting to understand where it's coming from. I think I might know where it is, but we have to get out of here. So at this point, you wake up. He tells you you've been out for 2 days. And that they actually, he heard a commotion. They must have taken you out. You're wearing all these like moist bandages all over the front of your skin, on your face and everything too. You're all wrapped up, so just your eyes are showing, and you just like feel this cooling energy kind of warping through your skin, and it doesn't hurt anymore. Whatever it is they put on you must be injecting you with some kind of anesthetic, and it also feels like it's actually really fast healing your skin. But you're still in a little bit of pain. You're able to sit up. You can actually even move around a little bit. And Coderic, at that point, he says, "There's someone at my door." And he goes quiet. And then you hear someone at your door. You see two armed Twi'lek soldiers. And behind it, you see your uncle standing there. Whoever you are, two things. You will never use my niece's name again. I will not hear of it, to disrespect her memory like that. You haven't deceived anyone here. You will not inherit whatever it is that my brother built.
I want to know what happened to my father. I never saw
it. It's none of your business, because who are you? You're a liar, and you're trying to deceive everyone here, everyone who lost their niece or their cousin. So quiet from you from now on. And second, your contact came through. You're right. Chalu knows you, and I know Chalu. Would have been nice to have a little heads up, I guess, before you guys got here. So I didn't torture one of the people that worked for him. But we've come to an understanding. So you and your associate Coderic are free to go, but never return here. If I ever see your face again, and I will remember it for as long as I live, you will die.
You should remember my face, as you were the one that I thought was dead before the slavers picked us up. I remember yours as well. And I remember the last words you spoke to me. And I will find out what happened to my family.
So he turns and looks at you and gives you this look that you're not going to forget for quite some time. He has almost a coy smile, and he just says, "That's one thing about us, Okas. We're survivors." And then he walks away. So at that point, your gear is handed to you by these soldiers. The door open next to you is open, and Coderic is standing there, and he's looking like, you know, other than the blast wound that he took to the chest, he's looking pretty healed up, and he turns to, you know, looks to you and gives you a bit of a nod and a smile, grabs his bag, puts it over his shoulder, checks through it. All your stuff is there, including your weapons. I think we have something we have to do.
If you believe that this is the pressing issue, then I will follow you. But I might ask in return, even though you've done so much for me, we might have to come back to this place. And I believe that there could be riches for both of us.
I have more money than I could ever need. I'm starting to believe that this trip here was not a coincidence. Your brother's death, while unfortunate, has brought us here for a reason, and it has nothing to do with your family. And you start to walk down the front steps, and there is a car there already organized. Looks like Chalu's pulled some strings for you guys. How Chalu and this guy are connected, you don't know. But they clearly have established, they know each other's names.
Okay.
So you step down into the speeder, and Coderic sits in the passenger side, and he points for you to drive. I keep hearing stories about your driving skills, so let's see you put that to the test. I know the way.
I did grow up around fast speeders.
Yeah. Start off the vehicle, and the repulsors kick in, and it hovers up off the ground. He puts his hand on your shoulder. I think you know the way, too. As I train you.
I'm going to use my force power seek to locate where this voice and power is coming from.
Sure.
Black.
Right, so you go back into that white space, but this time you're following that beacon, and it's just somewhere in the distance, but in a way you can't measure. You start to channel all those memories and all that anger that you've been welling up. You've been tortured by your uncle. You know that he is probably responsible for what happened. You're getting that feeling, and you're starting to get angry, and that beacon starts pulling you, and you know exactly where that is coming from. It's pulling you towards it. All you have to do is drive there.
Okay. Head off over the dunes as fast as I can.
You continue to drive over the dunes out to the wasteland, back actually in the direction where those raiders came and attacked you, where you were Baron Zofarek. but you continue on through the dunes for what feels like hours. And Kuderic's not even saying anything, but he looks happy in a weird way. You've never really seen him joyous in any way, but like he seems at a complete peace in a way that before it always seemed like he was meditating to attain peace, but this is an actual thing that he's feeling right now. And you continue going over the dunes. You're following this feeling. What are you doing as you're driving with Kuderic?
I'm just trying to process everything that just happened and what has happened to my clan and how they're still alive and why my uncle's at the head of it and what he's turned it into. So,
are you talking with Kuderic about it at all?
Yes, I think. Okay. I'm just talking to him. I say, I don't understand.
Your mind is on matters that are of the past. You are not that person anymore. Put aside who you were. This is a new chapter of your life. Why do you choose to obsess over it? Zofrek was the last connection that you had. Do you not see that this was your opportunity to start again? You don't have to be Dessa anymore. You can be whoever you want. Craft whatever life you want for yourself. It's what you've been working towards since you escaped slavery.
But when I was Okadessa was as a child, it was the only time I was ever happy. And if my uncle has taken that away from me in any way, he must pay.
Are you capable of making that happen?
If that is a possibility, and he hurt my mother and father, then I will. And put Zofiric and myself in the position that we were for so many years, suffering, he will pay.
I will not be the one to stop you. That is for you to decide when the time is right. But that is not why we are here. But you are too busy talking and thinking and not allowing yourself to feel. If you did, you would know that this is where we're meant to be. So quiet your mind for the last time before I punch you. You're driving me crazy. And I'm trying to concentrate. You keep on flying over the dunes until the sun sets. You've been driving all day, and you're not feeling the heat. You're not feeling hunger or thirst. You are just being pulled towards whatever this beacon is calling you. And eventually, the dunes give way to this rocks that jut out from the sand, and they're broken pieces, but you can definitely tell that there's these spires that rise up out of the sand. And there is some kind of weird formation in this, like, sea of endless sand. You've managed to find this alcove. It's almost an oasis of stone away from the sand. And as you start to get pulled closer, that warbling in your ears, it gets so loud that it's almost starting to hurt. And Kuderic, he's like, yes, this is it. This is the place. Can you feel it?
Yes.
You look ahead and you see that these spires start to lower into the sand and eventually give way to this archway made of stone. And you can see that there's definitely some kind of craftsmanship to the stonework that covers the archway leading deeper into this, down into the sand, underneath the sand. What are you actually thinking and feeling at this point? There's a sense that there's this feeling of memories coming back to you. It all feels like something to do with Zofra. It's connected to him somehow. You're not exactly sure at this point, but those are the feelings that are washing over you right now.
So I communicate this to Kuderic. I say, there's something from my childhood, a hazy memory, or almost like a dream, something to do with my brother and I.
What is it? Place. What is the emotion? Because you're able to attune the force to it, you start to understand that it's the anger of losing. That's what you're feeling right now, loss. Immense, immense feeling of loss and aloneness, of abandonment. You're feeling those really, really strongly right now.
It's a feeling of Zofiric and I being cut off from our families and the thought of our home burning. Just
stay tuned to it. Don't let that fade. Let's go. So you continue to walk towards. Do you follow him, or are you going to watch him going?
No, I follow him.
As you start to get closer, the night sky, all the stars start to fade out, and just a complete blackness envelops the entire sky. And you start to walk under this archway. This cold washes over your skin, and it feels even colder than the bandages that you're wearing, and it feels like it's cutting through you right down to where that feeling is emanating from. Koderic stops at the archway and he looks up.
I don't know if we should be venturing further. It's a horrible feeling I have.
I feel it too. I'm dealing with the emotions of being abandoned. I can feel it pulling me in all directions, but infinitely it's pulling me further inside. And they're familiar in a way that I suspect I understand, but I don't fully at this point, but I want you there with me.
If you feel the answers lie here, I trust that you are more a master of these things than I will ever be. So I will follow you.
You enter the dark chamber, passing beneath a stone archway formed from a dozen faces of men and women. It feels like their granite eyes follow you into the hexagonal room. There's a feeling, a shiver you sensed before. This is what it felt like to avenge your brother. This chamber is flooded with memory and emotion. As your feet fall on the cracked marble floor, the hairs on your neck stand as a beacon of red light pulses ahead in the darkness. It draws you forward. You stand before a black stone dais with carved talons that reach up and claw a delicate glass orb, the source of the red light. It calls to you. This is the house of my master. His essence remains here, forever woven into the flow of the Force. This is the true reason we came to Ryloth. We were called by him. Take it. It is your destiny. Reach for the orb and take it into your hand. A beam of red light cuts through the darkness, casting the silhouette of a face against the glistening marble ceiling. Cold eyes stare back at you. A Zabrak with a face of black and red. You are on the path, my pupil. Now we must complete your training.
Box, hands in the air. Where is she?
She went in the club.
Yeah, just, I got that. I was sitting right here.
I don't even, like, I just say, just give me a fucking second. And I jump over the hood of the destroyed car and start beelining it for the door.
Okay, so you ran into the club.
We lost her, but that was no random porn star. That was the mayor of the city, if you did not see.
I'm not even listening to Doc. I keep going.
Okay, so she's like... Right, well, that was the test, in case you hadn't figured it out yet. How deep does your loyalty go?
I feel there are better ways we can go about this. She's anti-slavery herself, even if some of the people she worked for are not. She'd be better as an ally than as a...
An ally?
Well, it's a possibility.
Have you looked into her policy? She's the one that passed Bill 74.
I'm doing a quick download of policy.
So you do. You download it. And she's yelling at you over top of while you're internally reading it. So Deidre passed the law when she first came into office. She had made a promise that when she came into office, she was going to abolish slavery. She never did. In fact, what she did is when she taxed the purchase of slaves. That wasn't a taxable thing before, and now the city is profiting directly from it. She has said that was to curtail slavery to make it a more difficult venture for people to
do. It's all coming back to you now.
Yeah. It's like sort of a little hologram of the thing.
She's
it's
yelling
like,
this information.
I was not aware of this. This changes everything.
All right, so you run in. You two you're still standing there. You got your hand back. You want to do a quick stitch on that?
Yeah, okay, is that possible?
Yeah.
A quick...
You got your cauterizing blaster there.
I wanted a sword again.
It's nice and hot, too.
Do I need a roll?
Yeah, so this will be a medical check and difficulties 2.
All right, 2, that's good. That's
so while you're like, well, this changes everything, you're currently sewing his head
back. This changes everything. We did fuck up. I'm sorry. that was on us. Should have listened to you. Fair enough.
So wait a second. If she passed that bill, she could be in cahoots with Jallo.
Probably. Well, I'm not there. I'm running in, so I'm not going to say anything.
Okay, so you two are currently outside. You run in, and this is about... 25 seconds after she disappeared in there earlier, so it'll happen very quickly. You run in and you do a perception check. 2 difficulty, 1 black dice.
I love the doc's been in and out.
Ran in, yelled at a guy, punched one, and then just ran, or shot one and ran back out again.
Yeah, just one advantage is all I got.
Okay. You're gonna take. You're gonna need more time. You can't just do this on the screen. So
maybe it's on but doesn't work or something.
I don't succeed, but
well, I do have a tryout.
Okay. So you do a quick scan, and because of the triumph, you are able to see her, and she's actually going out the front door right now.
But the other benefit
of that triumph is you're like, damn, the music is
good. Oh,
this sounds. And you look, and Muck is.
I was just gonna say.
He's got his set on. He is rocking. People are loving this guy.
Nice.
This guy. It's like he's killing you.
And it's just playing straight John Williams, basically.
You have to do some extortion on him now.
Yeah,
I've discovered you.
So I get on the comm as I'm heading toward, like trying to follow her from behind. I'm like, she's heading out of the front door right now. Also, Muck is totally ripping up this set right now. As I'm running out, I'm like, fuck yeah, Muck! Yeah, I don't think he can hear me because he's too enthralled.
Nice.
Oh, we still have a chance. Let's go to the front as fast as we can.
You're going to cut through the crowd, and you guys are going to go around the front?
Yep.
All right, so you guys burst around, and Box is just like, bring her back. So you need to make a coordination check to move through that crowd. Every success just means that you do it faster.
All right.
2 difficulty.
I succeed with 1 threat.
Okay, so you take a strain. It's just exhausting. You get through.
I'm trying to force Muck's music out of my head because it's just like it is so enthralling.
Infectious.
Can't deny the beats. You guys bolt around the corner, and sure enough, you see her. Being run out, there's a car that is now waiting for them that they probably would have had there earlier if you just wanted to go a different way. And you guys come around the corner just as they come out the front door and the guard is opening up the door.
I'm gonna run at him. I'm gonna grab him. You're gonna grab her.
Sounds like a plan.
I'm gonna run at that guy opening the door and do like a brawl move on him and try and knock him out.
You start running together, and you're watching them. They don't seem to have noticed you. You do connect with them, and you shove them back a few feet.
Yeah.
And it's enough to give you an opening, plus an advantage on your roll. Didn't do any damage, and you didn't knock him over. You're basically bowling him.
Yeah.
And after about 5 feet, he stops, and he's like,
Miss Deja, trust me.
And then, and she's like, Doc? You knock her over, you tackle her to the ground. You come out the front door at that point, and there's some people screaming. You're currently tangled with the guard. She's on her back, and you're like over top of her, like you've got a pin to the ground. What do you do? What is your immediate?
It's like it's all charm negotiations with her. It's like
we have a plan to get rid of Chalu. Just trust us and make an alliance with Fox.
Get off me!
I guess it's like.
So
consent,
up.
Full consent.
Yeah.
nothing untoward, anyone? Not one of those molest bots you hear about?
Just make clear the air.
Why did we have to design a robot for everything?
I got rid of mine last week! Molested me! So she stands up, dusts herself off, and she turns to her guard, and she's like, okay, hold on.
Nice.
It's like, stand out, just come with us.
Slow down. Okay, Chalu, I don't... What? I don't even know... Okay,
I'm confused myself, but I'm
last I saw you was yesterday, and we talked about the Vox.
Mm-hmm.
You were looking into it. Let's start there.
Oh, it's running through my head, too, as like I'm doing these programs. It's like, Vox did kill some of her friends on camera.
Yes.
The chance of her aligning with Vox is going to be very slim.
Also remember, you just found out that she's not so keen, or she is more keen on slavery than you thought.
But she's keen on money.
Just surrender and come with us. I'm going to have to restrain you. It's for part of the plan.
Can I lean into him or anything? Just say something to him personally?
Yeah.
What if we play them against one another? Lead her into the alley and say that we have Vox Corner.
Yeah. Right. She heard, did she hear that? Did she hear that?
Let's build a house of cards on this house of cards.
Yeah. Okay, you whispered it, so I will give her a chance. There's a crowd around, so it's pretty hard, but I will give her an opportunity to do so. You need to make a charm check.
Yeah.
The difficulty right now is she's pretty on guard, especially because she clearly had hired a pretty high, pretty intense security.
Yeah.
She knows something's up. So your difficulty is 2, and they're upgraded to red.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, she is on super guard because, you know,
she's also,
other politicians
she's
are
also
getting...
She's also a politician, so...
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, look at this. A triumph negates a, like, death.
They both happen.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, outside of that, everything cancels out except those two. A triumph and what's this one called?
Despair.
Just a giant triumph. What a great role for story purposes.
So why don't you tell me what the triumph does for you in this situation? You tell her, come with us. I need to restrain you, but it's part of the plan. You tell her that. What is the triumph? I'll tell you. I won't tell you the negative
Would her dismissing the guard that she's with be possible? If I'm like, trust us, dismiss the guard, and there will be no more bloodshed. We just need this one plan to work.
Okay. So she turns. She's like, just wait at the car. I trust these people. I'll be back.
Nice. Okay. This is good.
You take her back.
Yeah.
And you go right back around where the car was.
And she just with Deja. No guards
just,
or
just
anything.
Just you three with Deja. So she comes around the corner. You just do a quick scan. You guys can each make a perception roll.
I succeed with 2 threats.
Ooh, I have 2 successes.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I got a triumph, but no. A triumph and all disadvantages.
You both immediately recognize that Vox is not standing by the car. The despair comes into play. A light goes on behind you, light illuminating the darkness. You hear a blaster pistol fire.
Long live the Vox.
Her head snaps forward. You just feel blood splatter on you because it happens and it goes dark again and a slump forward. A bright flash blinds you, and when your vision starts to return, Vox is gone. You look down and she has half her skull has been removed. She's clearly been executed. At that point, you look around and there's a huge crowd of people who all just saw you in the last moments with the mayor, Deja Stradler, and she's now dead at your feet.
Great.
And that's where we'll end.